State of Washington Court of Appeals, Division 1 is now in session. The Honorable Michael J. Trinity presiding.
Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. First case on the calendar this morning is State v. McCulley.
Good morning, Your Honors. Gregory Link on behalf of Ms. McCulley. If I could reserve
three minutes
for a rebuttal. This court should reverse Ms. McCulley's convictions for malicious mischief and reckless endangerment. First off, addressing the malicious mischief conviction, if we look at Instruction 8, defining damages for the jury, it's clear that at least the second paragraph in that instruction, which is beyond what the WIPIC says, which is beyond what the statute says, that second paragraph is a comment on the evidence. It tells the jury you have to include the cost of repairs and taxes when you measure damages here.
Is that a question of fact or law?
That is a question of fact under Sophie versus Fiberboard. The Supreme Court was quite clear that damages.
Sophie versus Fiberboard didn't involve this kind of a question. It was a constitutional question to a lid. What if the state had presented evidence of diminution in value of the property? Would the first paragraph be a comment on the evidence?
It may be.
Yes or no?
I think it is. The statute says it. But at least with that first section, that first paragraph, it at least tracks the statutory definition of damages in this instance.
So that's, what's the difference between a court-fashioned definition and a legislatively-fashioned definition for purposes of comment on the evidence when the court gives the instruction?
I don't think there is a distinction, but we are not challenging the first portion because we didn't raise an objection to that below. In another case, we'll be back here, I suggest, saying that telling a jury they must include the diminution in value as a measure of damages is probably a comment on the evidence, but that's not this case.
Is every definition of a word contained in element instruction a comment on the evidence if the state presents evidence on that issue?
Every instruction that tells the jury they must resolve a factual dispute in a particular matter is a comment on the evidence. Telling the jury they must include these facts in their measure of damages is plainly a comment on the evidence.
How do you distinguish Ratliff?
To be quite frank, I think Ratliff is wrong, but I think it's distinguished. The cases it relies on are the same cases we pointed to. They don't say a jury must do these things. In fact, Ratliff itself says a court should allow evidence of the cost of repair, but there's, and that's true. That's what the Supreme Court case law says. You should include that evidence if it's available, but that it's a whole nother step to say then that the jury should be told they have to include that, and that's where we're at. I think Ratliff is wrong in that regard. I think it reads far too much. It makes the same mistake, quite frankly, that the state is making here. It's transforming may to must. And that's incorrect, and that's where the lines cross. No one disputes that evidence of cost of repair or evidence of tax or evidence of diminution in value is admissible. It plainly is.
Okay, what evidence would you present for the jury to decide the question of whether damages includes reasonable cost of repair or doesn't include reasonable cost of repair?
Well, the state presented the evidence.
No, they presented evidence of the amount of the cost of repairs. It's whether the word damages includes reasonable cost of repairs is a separate question. Would you have to bring in a lexicographer, a historian? I mean, what would you present in the way of evidence to tell a jury what the word means?
The word damages?
Yes.
Damages, is, I think, has an ordinary meaning, and that's what the statute says. It says in addition to its ordinary meaning. I don't think damages has to be defined. State versus Galois is quite clear that if a word is of common understanding, it doesn't have to be defined. I don't think there's any necessity to define damages at all. We have
there are hundreds of cases where lawyers have argued about what is and isn't included in damages in civil litigation. So isn't as straightforward as you suggest.
And there's an equal number of cases in the criminal context that say definitions don't need to be, we don't need to provide instructions that merely define terms, especially terms that are of common understanding. That is plainly the case in criminal law, that we don't provide definitions.
It's very unusual in criminal law for a definition that doesn't describe the court's view on evidence to be a comment on the evidence. Your argument would seem to apply logically to any definition contained in a jury instruction defining a word.
If we provided an instruction that says intent means doing what the defendant did, that would plainly be a comment on the evidence. If we said intent means buying a gun, that would be a comment on the evidence. If we had an instruction in a robbery case that said taking means removing the money from the bank, that would be a comment on the evidence. And this is not different in any fundamental fashion. It tells the jury you have to include the cost of repair when you measure damages. And it's important here because it takes this case from a misdemeanor to a felony.
Now, the instruction doesn't say shall include. It just says include. And in the reply brief, I think you argue that if it said may, it would be permissible. Is that your position?
If it said may, it would absolutely be permissible, because then it's not telling the jury it has to do anything with it. And that's consistent with the case law.
Why does the jury get to decide whether the cost, the word damages includes or doesn't include cost of repairs?
The jury gets to determine what facts, what claims are included in the measure of damages. That's what Sophie says. Sophie says that you can't restrict or guide the jury's discretion on damages.
Sophie says you can't limit the dollar amount that the jury can award.
Sophie expressly says Washington has consistently looked to the jury to determine damages as a factual issue. That's a direct quote from Sophie.
The issue in Sophie's was the constitutionality of a cap on damages that had been imposed.
And the reason why it was unconstitutional is because Washington has consistently looked to the jury to determine damages as a factual issue. That is why the statutory limitation
was. That was the amount of damages, not whether, for example, loss of enjoyment of life was included as an element of damages.
But it didn't matter in that instance because it didn't matter what they used to measure damages.
Our appellate courts have decided as a matter of law what elements are recoverable as damages in civil cases, rejecting some and accepting others.
But no one disputes that this is recoverable. The distinction is, and that's what all the cases we cite say, it's allowable. But it's another thing altogether to tell the jury they must. And I submit, Judge Trickey, that this instruction couldn't be read in any way that provides discretion to the jury. It doesn't say may. If it did say may, that would be perfectly permissible.
Do the facts matter? Does it make a difference what the range of evidence was on alternative measures of damages? If there's only estimates of repair costs, does that help or hurt your argument?
I don't think it matters because... For instance, the notion of sales tax, just within Snohomish County, there are different measures of sales tax depending on which municipality you're in. And jurors know that. That's the information they bring with them. I submit that Instruction 8 is a comment on the evidence and invades the province of the jury, and I'd ask the court to reverse.
You'll have some time in rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, I'm Kathleen Weber, and I represent the State of Washington. The question before the Court today is whether or not Instruction 8, which included the language damages, includes the reasonable cost of repairs to a damaged automobile to restore it to its former condition, including any sales tax, whether or not that was a judicial comment on the evidence, and whether or not that instruction invaded the province of the jury. I think it's important to go back to basics and talk about what is a judicial comment on the evidence. Courts have held that a judicial comment or an improper judicial comment on the evidence is a comment that tells the jury how the court feels about the credibility or weight of or sufficiency of the evidence. And so, for example, in Levy, cited in my brief, the court talked about jury instruction that in one aspect was a judicial comment on the evidence, and in another aspect it was not a judicial comment on the evidence. That had to do with the definition of what was a deadly weapon. And in each of those cases, the court defined it to wit a crowbar, to wit a .38 caliber gun. It was a judicial comment on the evidence. In relationship to the crowbar, because depending on how a crowbar could be used, it could or could not be a deadly weapon. And so that was a factual.
Comment on the evidence if the jury was instructed that a deadly weapon includes a firearm?
No, and that's what I was getting to. It was not held to be a comment on the evidence in Levy. When it said to wit a .38 caliber firearm, because as a matter of law, a firearm is a deadly weapon. Now,
let me ask you a question that's separate from the line you're going down. You don't make any argument that this was harmless error if it was error. Why not?
Well, because I think it's plainly not error. I think courts have held repeatedly, and Ratliff is the one criminal case that addresses it, but in civil cases over and over and over again, the court has held that reasonable cost to repair is, as a matter of law, an element of damages. In this case...
But that's not in the statutory definition.
It's not, but courts have redefined what the elements of offenses are by adding non-statutory elements, for example, in robbery. Courts have also expanded on definitions, statutory definitions of offenses, and one of them, one of those expansions occurs in the definition of damages. Again,
could the jury have concluded that sales tax wasn't properly an element of damage here, or do they have to, as a matter of law, conclude that it's part of the damage?
Well, I think that they're instructed, based upon this, that taxes are part of the definition of reasonable cost to repair.
So isn't that like directing a verdict on behalf of the state?
No, because, again, going back to the definition of what is a comment on the evidence and what, I guess going back to also what is depriving the jury of the right to determine a question. If it's a question of law, that's for the court to instruct the jury on. But if it's a disputed fact, and let's go back to what the disputed facts were in this case.
Let me follow. If it's a question of law, why even submit it to the jury?
Because it provides a framework for the jury to determine, based upon these facts, whether or not the elements of the crime have been committed.
Well, the jury also get to decide whether the amount of the charge was reasonable.
Well, and that was a fact for the jury to decide.
It wasn't disputed in this case, though, was it?
It wasn't necessarily disputed in this case. The defense in this case was, it wasn't me, I wasn't there. But the...
And there was no, in closing argument, the defense counsel made no argument at all challenging the reasonableness of the cost of repairs.
No, but it still was a decision for the jury to make. This instruction didn't say that $931, that was the written estimate that was provided, is a reasonable cost of repair. The jury could have said, that's out of line with what our common experience is. That may be circumstantial evidence of what the cost of repair is, but we don't think it's a reasonable cost of repair. We think it's somewhere south of $750, which was the limit that was placed on the distinction between the gross misdemeanor and felony offense. Go ahead.
When there's no evidence of any alternative measure of damages before the jury, which way does that cut? Does that make it, well, couldn't it be harmful because they didn't have that issue in front of them as a practical matter?
No, but
it goes... Or is it an endorsement by the court saying, hey, that evidence that you presented about, that's good evidence?
No, there's nothing in this instruction that directs the jury to any specific evidence provided in this case. And that's why it's not a judicial comment on the evidence.
Well, doesn't it, though? Because there's only one evidence of sales tax. The sales tax was X. It tells the jury you have to include that.
No, actually, in this case, none of the estimates included sales tax. The testimony from the repair person only involved the line items for each individual item that was incurred as a result of repairing this vehicle, or what they estimated would cost to repair this vehicle. That's the other thing. These are estimates. These aren't actual costs. And so the jury could say, well, it's an estimate, and that's circumstantial evidence. And in our common experience, usually an estimate is generally what it is, so we can find it. But they could say, hey, you know, this is just an estimate. This isn't something that actually was the cost of repair in this case. And this instruction did not direct jurors to say that the estimate was the cost of repair of the vehicle, was the measure of damages.
Defense counsel could cross-examine the state's witness on that as well, could it not?
He certainly could have.
Is this what you actually collected, that sort of thing?
Certainly could have. The other question that was raised by the defense is whether or not this is this deprived her of the right to jury trial. And an instruction deprives a defendant of the right to jury trial when it takes away a contested issue. And for the same reasons that it's not a judicial comment on the evidence, it didn't take away any contested issue from the jury or any factual determination that a jury, I should not say contested issue because a lot of the issues were not contested, but any factual determination for the jury to make. As relates to this instruction, there were four things the jury had to decide. One, whether or not the defendant did some act. Two, whether or not that resulted in physical damage. Three, whether or not that damage was to the property of another. And four, whether or not that was in the excess of the amount, that damage was in the excess of the amount of $750. Nothing about the instruction given by the trial court in this case resolved any of those factual issues for the jury to decide. It didn't give the jury any specific facts about the case. It didn't direct the jury that any fact that had been presented to them had been proven as a matter of law. And for that reason also, this was not an instruction that deprived the defendant of her right to a jury trial. So I would ask the court to affirm the defendant's conviction. Thank you.
Thank you. You have three minutes.
Thank you. I think the state's use of the phrase matter of law is telling here. The state believes the jury had no discretion but to include that. That's exactly what the state's arguing.
If the evidence was beyond a reasonable doubt that that was the reasonable cost of repairing the vehicle, why isn't it as a matter of law includable?
First off, the state can't cite a single case that says sales taxes as a matter of law includable in damages.
You're not answering my question. If the facts are established as a matter of law, that the costs presented by the state were reasonable costs of repair, why is it left to the jury to decide whether or not that is an element of damages? Why isn't that something that we've already resolved as a legal question?
Because if that's the case, then the jury doesn't get to decide damages at all. We just direct the jury's verdict and ask, was it malicious?
Well, no, the jury gets to decide, was this the amount that was reasonable? Was this repair necessary because of something that the defendant did? Did the defendant act maliciously in causing this damage? Those are all issues still left for the jury to decide.
The jury doesn't get to say, we're not going to include sales tax. And that's important.
Is that jury nullification of a legal issue?
No, it's not a legal issue. There's not a legal issue because the state hasn't cited you a single case or a statute that says sales tax must be included in the cost of repair. There's no legal issue here. Damages have always been a factual issue, and I think the comparison to the firearm statute is telling. As a matter of law, by statute, a firearm is a deadly weapon. That's why you can tell the jury a firearm is a deadly weapon.
You just told us in your direct argument that there's no difference between the legislature defining a word and the judge defining a word. So why do we care that it's defined in the statute rather than by a judge?
Because that's a starting point here. At a minimum, this goes beyond what the statute says. We are not challenging the first paragraph.
Okay, is that make it a comment on the evidence that it goes beyond the statutory definition?
It's a starting point, yes. And
I thought the definition of a comment on the evidence related to the judge's expressed opinion to the jury about the credibility or the existence of facts.
This is an existence of fact. It's the existence of the fact that sales tax must be included. That's a factual determination. And I think it's important that even in Ratliff, this court did not say a jury must include the cost of repair. It did not say a jury must include sales tax. It said that evidence is allowable. So where the state comes today saying as a matter of law this must be included is wrong.
The word sales tax was deleted from the second paragraph. So if it just said damages include the reasonable cost of repairs to a damaged automobile to restore it to its former condition, it would not be a comment on the evidence?
No. It would be a comment on the evidence.
So the sales tax piece of it's a red herring.
No, I disagree.
You can answer. Go ahead.
It is not. It is simply one piece. There are two flaws in that. The cost of repair and sales tax. And directing the jury that they must include it is plainly a comment on the evidence. Thank you.
You.